Al-Bayan Radio presents The Etiquettes of a Believer, presented by Naseem Abidi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala. We continue. We finished with the etiquette of with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the obvious continuation from that is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, before we speak about the etiquettes with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we speak about their virtues. We're not going to get into much detail because their details yani, would take more than one lesson in and of itself. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal has a special status for them. Allah Azza wa Jal has a special status for them to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, out of all the generations that came from humanity, from Adam alayhi salam until the day of judgment, out of all the generations, the best generation is the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning his companions. So after the Anbiya, after all of the Prophets, the best people to ever walk the earth were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani, as a testament to that, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ. The best of people is my generation, then those who come after them, then those who come after them. And فعلاً, if you were to look at history, never you will find a group of people that done what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done ever. You will always find throughout history yani sparks of greatness. You will find individuals who are amazing. You will find groups of people that done a lot. But to look and say a group of men and women who before the message of Islam were considered to be the worst of the worst, then via only a short few years of tarbiyah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, changed history. They changed the world as it was known at their time. Not only themselves individually, but throughout the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, throughout the rest of the Arab lands, throughout the Sham, throughout North Africa, all the way to Asia. And then they set the footprint for the people to continue after them. How does that happen? That happens when Iman enters the heart. And that's why their Iman is different to our Iman. That's why their status is different than our status. That's why their Islam is different to our Islam. Because they drank from Islam as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it. As for us, unfortunately, we have a million and one yani polluting processes before we drink Islam. They drink straight from the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For us, we put so many problems on ourselves. Why? And we question, and what's the rationale? And but my iman is weak, but I'll wait later, but then my job, but then my dunya, but the companions didn't have that. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once iman entered the heart, they had no problem sacrificing their lives for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for this deen, for Islam. This is the type of people that they were, jazakallahu khairan. These are the type of people that they were. These are the believers, and these are the ones who we need to follow. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified that they are the best of people after the Prophets radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Secondly, they, after Allah azza wa jal, were the reason for the spreading of this religion in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who were the carriers of this deen? The companions. Who were the henchmen for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who were the foot soldiers? Who were the defenders? Who were his ambassadors? All of them were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't do all of this by himself. Allah azza wa jal sent messengers as men, and the men are limited. How does he work sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He can't do all himself. He sends men out from the companions, men to spread this deen. He sent people to Yemen, he sent people to Asham, he sent messengers to give to the kings of Kisra, yani the king of Persia, and to give to the Heraclius at the time, the king of Rome. He sent these men. When it came time to defend Islam in jihad and to spread Islam through jihad, the Prophet ﷺ had armies of companions. When it came to people looking after the affairs, looking after the ministries, it were the companions. So in his lifetime, he used them in order to make this deen strong. And then after his death, they didn't turn away from his deen. Rather, they continued on the message. So as we said, the Muslims reached an extent where they would start crying, the companions would start crying. And then when they asked, why are you crying? They would say, the food that we're eating, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never seen to the meaning. The food that we're eating, the luxuries that we're living, the Prophet ﷺ never seen. When we talk about what the companions reached in only a few decades, and the Prophet ﷺ prophesied that to one of the companions, I forgot his name. One of the companions, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you will be wearing the bracelets of Kisra. Who was Kisra? The leader of the Persian Empire at that time. We said the world was ruled by two halves. Half of the world was ruled by the Persians. The other half of the world was ruled by the Romans. So you're talking about, let's just say for example, yani nowadays, you're talking about America and China, for example. You're talking about America and China. The Prophet ﷺ is telling some of the companions, you in particular, he told him, I forgot his name, you will be wearing the bracelets of Kisra, the leader of Persia. And I tell you now, you're going to go into the White House and you're going to wear the watch of Donald Trump. He told me, Jazakallah khairan, barakallah fiqh, but I won't see you next week. Okay, gone. The Prophet ﷺ is telling this to the companions when? When they're stuck in Al-Madinah. When they're surrounded by all sides. Where at times they don't have food to eat. Which we said is the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ and the truthfulness of his prophecies. But the men, look how hard they worked. Look how hard they strived. Look how much they sacrificed. And then they reached the pinnacles of this dunya. So when we want to reach and change the affairs of the ummah, be willing to take what they took. Be willing to sacrifice how they sacrificed. Be willing to work how they worked. We're not going to reach exactly how they reached because we can't. These people were chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal. But we can try our best. You aim high, yes, you might not reach your goals, but you get as close to it as possible. And that's why these men were chosen specifically by Allah Azza wa Jal, because they were special. And Allah Azza wa Jal knew who they were and knew what they were capable of. And that's why when Allah Azza wa Jal changed their hearts, they reached the heights that they lived. They reached the levels that they lived. Some of the etiquettes. First and foremost is to love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember when we spoke about Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we said part of the etiquettes of loving Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to love Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to love what they love. And to love what they love. So part of your love is to love who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved, and who did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam love more from the men than his companions. To his companions, to the extent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it a sign of iman, where he says ayatul iman hubbul ansar. From the signs of Iman is that you love the Ansar. The Ansar were the Muslims that were in Al-Madinah. From the signs of Iman is that you love the Ansar. And from the signs of hypocrisy is that you hate the Ansar. Who were better? The Ansar or the Muhajirin? The Muhajirun were better. The Muhajirun were the Muslims that were in Mecca, who got kicked out of Mecca. They were better because their iman was stronger. And they were the first Muslims. And they were the ones who gave the Prophet ﷺ victory when no one else gave him victory. And they were kicked out and they sacrificed with the Prophet ﷺ. As for the Ansar, they've got immense virtue. And they gave the Prophet ﷺ when he was kicked out of Mecca. They gave him victory and support when he was kicked out of Mecca. And through Al-Madinah, Islam spread. But in terms of who's better, of course, the Muhajirin are better than the Ansar. So if part of our iman is to love the Ansar, then to love the Muhajirin is even greater, a greater sign of iman. How do I love someone if I don't know them? How do I love someone if I don't know them? So when we say we should love the companions, a lot of people think, okay, I love them, but I don't feel, yani, how do I love them? What do I love them with? What do I do? Why don't we feel that? Simply because we don't know who they are. When you look at what the companions went through, then and only then can you love the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Just like with Allah, just like with the Prophet ﷺ, just like with anyone, you can't truly love them, you can't truly fear them, nor can you truly respect them unless you know about them. That's why it's important to learn about Allah, His names, His attributes. It's important to learn about the Prophet ﷺ, His seerah, His life, His events, what happened. Also with the companions, it's important to learn about them. When we say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, yani what, okay, Abu Bakr, we know he's the best Muslim. What's something that he done? What's something that connects me to Abu Bakr? What's something that once I hear about it, wallah, it brings tears to your eyes. It makes my heart say, I want to be like Abu Bakr. When you hear about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when you hear about Uthman, when you hear about yani Sa'd ibn Zayd, when you hear about Usama, when you hear about Thabit, when you hear about all of these companions, you're like, who are these people? Yeah, okay, I like them because they're companions. But do you feel that connection? A lot of the time, no. Why? Because you don't know who they are. You don't know what they've done for Islam. So we need to learn about the companions. And alhamdulillah, there's many series online. They talk about the companions and their life and what they've done. So ensure to watch them, even if it's only one companion a week that you watch. But watch something so you have that connection and you can have that love, because their love is part of your iman and it's part of their etiquette in dealing with them. Number two, to testify and admit their greatness and honor. To testify and admit their greatness and honor. Everyone should look at the companions and understand that they were the best of generations. And when you reflect upon that, again, part of your iman in believing in that is that you start to want to be like them to the best of your ability. Why is this so important, especially in nowadays? Because you have a lot of Muslims, especially progressive Muslims, any Muslims that like to or want to change the deen, they come up with their own understanding of Islam. When you tell them, how do I know that this is the right way, or how do you know that Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept that from you? They say, Allah said this in the Quran, for example. You say, you're not allowed to follow a way other than the way of the companions. You're not allowed to Islamically follow a way other than the way of the companions. Why? Allah Azza wa Jalla, how many times in the Quran did he tell you, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu? Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. How do you know that you are pleased with the way that you are taking? You don't know. You don't know. So why should I follow a way other than the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? With your deen, you're meant to follow their way. Not because this person said or that person said, because Allah Azza wa Jalla said. Not only did Allah say that He's pleased with them, but He also says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and the ones who follow them in goodness. So when we say we want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, our job is to follow the way of who? Follow the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are countless ahadith talking about their virtue. That being part of our iman is going to take away and cause enmity between you and a few other sects. The first and foremost being who? The Shia. This is automatically number one. You're going to have big problems with the Shia, because the Shia, part of the deen, part of their usul, like part of their foundational principles of iman, is that they what? Talk badly about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, that they were hypocrites, that they were murtadeen, that they were people of dunya, that they changed the Quran. How can I love a person? How can I be friends with a person that talks about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in such a manner? So this is why whenever you hear a person say, for example, us and the Shia are like brothers, or the only difference between us and the Shia are political issues, you know automatically this person has not read the Quran once with understanding. If Allah tells me in the Quran that Allah is pleased with them, and Allah tells me in the Quran that He's pleased with those who follow His way, follow their way, then you told me to be friends with someone who says that these people are murtadeen, they're apostates, they left Islam and they're hypocrites. How can I accept that? This is a foundational principle in the deen. Part of your iman is to love the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, to respect and to glorify them and to put them on a pedestal. That's part of your iman. How can you be brothers with someone who talks badly about them and hates them and makes their hate part of their religion? This is a person, yani, that has no understanding of the deen whatsoever. So part of, yani, your iman, a part of your deen, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, is that you worship them through the way of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number three, to take your religion off them as they bring it to you. From the verses that we just said, no problem. Who gave us the Quran? The Quran was sent by who? Was sent by Allah. Revealed unto who? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Passed on by who? By the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Quran was revealed and passed on through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by who? The Sunnah was sent by who? No. By Allah Azza wa Jal. This is where people make a mistake. This guy's got cracking up at the back. The Sunnah was sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet doesn't speak from himself. Whatever he says is revelation sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. So it was sent by Allah, passed on to The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and passed down to by who? By the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quran and the Sunnah were revealed the exact same ways, in the sense that they're from Allah, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and preserved and passed on to us by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyone who talks badly about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, really you're talking badly about what? Not only the Sunnah, but also the Quran. But also the Quran. Which is extremely dangerous, because it means it's kufr. It means that you're saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla, the way He sent His deen, it's not in a preserved manner. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam preserved this religion. Not only they preserved it, why do we take off them? Why do we understand the deen the way they understood it? Because they lived its revelation. When I read a verse of Quran, how am I going to understand it? I'm going to understand it based on my information, my context, my knowledge. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, how are they going to explain it? Based on the reality that they were living in. Based on what they seen. The Quran was revealed about them. The Quran was revealed around them. They lived the explanation of the Quran via the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. So when you see today, unfortunately, a lot of yani so-called mashayikh and so-called ulama and Muslim academics and progressives, they bring you the mushaf and they say, "Ah, nowhere in the Quran does it say the word hijab. There's no hijab in Islam. And the hijab that's talking about in the Quran is not talking about the headscarf." That part is correct. Everything else, you have no idea what you're talking about. Do am I going to take your explanation of the Quran or the companion's explanation of the Quran, which are clear-cut verses anyway, but the one who Allah Azza wa Jalla blinds, no one can make them see. When the Quran talks about the dealing with the kuffar, yani some Muslims today say the Christians and Jews, the Ahl al-Kitab, Christians and Jews, they're also going to Jannah. They're also going to Jannah. Allah said a million times in the Quran that they're not going to Jannah. But on top of that, the companions told us what verse is abrogated and what verse literally and explicitly is saying that no religion other than Islam is going to be accepted. The companions explained that to us. When there's verses which are vague, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Certain verses, they're vague, but the role and the job of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to make clear to the people who passed on that knowledge to us, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they lived the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So upon us is to take our religion off them. And whenever you say differing amongst Muslims, which opinion is right? Should I take this opinion or should I take that opinion? Some people say Allah's here, some people say Allah's there, some people say Allah's nowhere. Some people say, what did the companion say? Companion said Allah's above his friend in a way that suits his majesty. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Bye bye. Done. Finished. Some people say the Jews are Christians are going to Jannah. Some people say Christians are not going to Jannah. What did the companion say? That anyone other than a Muslim is going to the hellfire. Okay, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Done. Why do we need to, what's the opinion? I'm confused about religion. The religion is very simple. Any difference? How did the companions understand it? The companions' understanding is our understanding, and we move on. And obviously, their tongues in Arabic were the best. So when we talk about the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah in terms of Arabic language, they were better than my understanding of Arabic today or anyone else's understanding. And as we said, they lived the actual practical implementation of them. Number four, to make dua for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To make dua for them, and that's taken from the verse where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And those who come after them, they say, O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not place in our hearts hatred for those who believe. O our Lord, verily you are the kind and the merciful. The Quran was revealed to who? Revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in the time of who? The companions radiallahu anhum. So Allah's talking who about who in this verse? The companions who became Muslim towards the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So you had the Muhajirin, then you had the Ansar, and then you had the Muslims who became Muslims later. Allah said to them and their companions that part of your belief, part of your characteristics as a Muslim is that you make dua for those who came before you. Who are the Muslims, the Sahaba became Muslims earlier on. Imagine us today in our belief in the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and the Tabi'in. Part of our role is to make dua for them. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And oh Allah, don't place in our hearts hatred and enmity to those who believe. So Allah's talking, testifying to their belief and saying part of your iman is that you hate none of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we'll speak about next inshaAllah. But part of it is making dua for them. The most common dua that we say is, what's the most common dua? For the companions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu hasn't digested yet the food. Radiallahu anhu. What does radiallahu anhu mean? May Allah be pleased with him. May Allah be pleased with him. Just to fix some of our tongues. If you're speaking about an individual, you say radiallahu anhu. Anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. If you're talking about more than one companion, you say radiallahu anhum. Hum, which is the jama' plural. May Allah be pleased with them. And if you speak about a female companion, say radiallahu anha. Like Aisha, radiallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with them. And obviously, if Allah Azza is pleased with someone, then He'll give them the paradise. And He'll give them the paradise. For this is a dua that's commonly stated, because Allah has mentioned it so many times about them in the Quran. So it's a dua most of us make, and it's part of the etiquette in dealing with them. Anhuma is for two, al-muthanna. For if there's two, like Ibn Abbas, anhuma. I specifically didn't say this, so I don't confuse the brothers. Jazakallahu khairan. Number five, to not speak disrespectfully about the problems that happened between them. Important one. Are the companions ma'sumin? Are they free from mistake? They're not free from mistake. The companions are human beings, just like we're human beings. And at times there can be problems between them. These problems never led them to hate each other or make takfir on one another. When we speak about their problems, you can speak about it in proper context for educational purposes. Like those problems between Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma. There you go. Hey, radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with them both. There can be problems between them. But what do most people that speak about and bring out these problems, what do they intend behind it? Hatred. And causing fitna. And this is where a Muslim is not allowed. And this is the total agreement of Ahlul Sunnah. No matter what sect you go to from Ahlul Sunnah, all of them have the same beliefs regarding the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. That we don't speak about what their problems in badness. We say, based on the words of the Prophet ﷺ, for example, Ali was correct. We say, the problems between Ali and Muawiyah, we say, based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that Ali was correct. But we don't say Muawiyah is waliyadu billah. Some people say an evildoer or a hypocrite or is a person of dunya. A'udhu billah. This is a companion of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. If two parties from the believers fight. We're not saying necessarily that this verse was revealed about that problem, but Allah said from the believers. So sometimes there can be problems between believers. Doesn't mean, wallah, because two people fought or two people had a problem with each other, that we say one's a kafir and one's not. Or one's fighting him and the other one's a hypocrite. La. We say this one thought that one way was right, and this one thought that way was right. And based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, ultimately we know that Ali radiallahu anhu was correct. Not because our whims and desires, only because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. That he said about Ali radiallahu anhu that he will fight the transgressing group. Based on the hadith, khalas. As for enmity and hatred, then this is not allowed. Just like we don't speak about a problem about Ali radiallahu anhu. Just like we don't speak about Ali. And some of the Shia, they think that if we talk good about Muawiyah, it means automatically by default, we hate Ali. A'udhu billah. Incorrect. We love Ali more than we love Muawiyah. Because the Prophet ﷺ loved Ali more than Muawiyah. And he's greater in status. He's one of those who are guaranteed paradise. So we love Ali radiallahu anhu. We love Al-Hasan al-Husayn. We believe because of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they are the masters of the youth in paradise. But does that lead me to hate them? لا. أصلاً if you look at them, Al-Hasan رضي الله عنه, who had the Islamic leadership, gave the Islamic leadership to Muawiyah. That's Al-Hasan, the son of Ali رضي الله عنه, gave it to Muawiyah. If Al-Hasan thought that Muawiyah was a bad person, would he give him the Islamic leadership? Of course not. And that's why the Shia always, whenever they talk about Al-Husayn or they only talk about Al-Hasan. Only Al-Husayn. Never Al-Hasan. You never ever hear Ya Hasan. Never. Always Ya Husayn. And even in their ship, they only choose Al-Husayn. Why? Because if they talk once about Al-Hasan, you just say, Al-Hasan gave it to Muawiyah. The whole deen dies by default. So we can speak about problems that happen between them. We can speak about problems in order to educate, in order to remove misconceptions, in order for people to understand the reality of what happened. But to speak about it to cause fitna or hatred or enmity between the companions, then this is not allowed. To not swear at them. To not swear at them, and this is a given. But again, people in the past did fall into this mistake, and obviously the Shia fall into this mistake. And I've seen a few Sunni speakers talk badly, especially about Muawiyah and especially about Aisha radiallahu anhuma. I've seen a few Sunni speakers speak badly about Muawiyah and Aisha. And the ulama say, anyone that you see talking about Muawiyah is a what? Automatically know that he's a Rafidi in disguise, automatically. Anyone that you see talking about, because no one talks about Muawiyah except the Shia. Why would Ahlul Sunnah talk about Muawiyah? There are a few Sunnis, unfortunately, or they claim to be Sunni, that talk badly about Muawiyah. I think actually even there was a problem here once. There was a problem here once with one of the speakers. Yani he tried to think himself bigger than what he was, and he read certain books. Again, this is important to understand. When we want to read about history, this is why, again, we can talk to educate. When you read history, history is written from the context of the author. So if the author has Shia leanings, he's going to talk good or bad about Muawiyah. He's going to talk about bad. So a person can say, Wallah, I read this book on history and he said this. Yeah, of course, because the author is Shia himself. Or he's got Shia leanings. So a person needs to know how to talk about the companions. Isn't Muawiyah a companion? He's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Let the subbu ashabi? Do not curse my companions. Khalas, there you go. Stop. Then talk. A sab in Arabic is not yani necessarily like an F word. It's also talking about in a bad way. Also, and this is a hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. It's reported by Al-Hakim and Al-Dhahabi authenticated it. Very, very, very important and dangerous hadith for those who curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allah akhtarani wa akhtara li ashaba faja'ala li minhum wazara'a wa ansaran wa ashara faman sabbahum فعليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين لا يقبل الله منهم يوم القيامة صرفا ولا عدلا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah chose me, and He chose for me companions, and He made from them for me ambassadors, victors, يعني people that give me victory, and in-laws. يعني Abu Bakr was his in-law, and Umar was his in-law, and Uthman was his in-law, and Ali was his in-law. These are all in-laws from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whoever curses them, then upon him is the curse of Allah and the angels and all of mankind. And Allah will not accept from them on the day of judgment a sarf, which in this case means a nafila, the supererogatory deed, wala adla, nor an obligatory deed. Yani these people that curse my companions, these people, like they're not Muslim. Like they're not Muslim. How can you say, I love Allah and I love the Messenger of Allah, and Allah praised the companions in the Quran, and the Prophet praised them in his Sunnah, and they uphold the religion after them, and then you come and talk bad about them? How can that be? Part of your deen is to love those who the deen loves. And you make a part of your deen that you hate the ones who carry the deen. It's impossible for them to go together. For anyone who curses the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's like there's no deen for them. And this is yani known amongst the ulama. Anyone who curses the companion says they're all kuffar or they're all non-Muslims, automatically this person has left the fold of Islam. Number 7, to protect their honor and clear any misconception. And this is our last etiquette with the companions. To protect their honor and clear any misconceptions about them. Besides the many verses Allah talks about in the Quran about protecting your brother and protecting the honor of your brother. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sunnah, it's very important to protect the honor and misconceptions, especially about the companions. Why? A lot of people, they can't come and say about the deen directly, I don't believe in Islam, nor should you. It's very hard to come to the Quran directly and say, the Quran is not the word of Allah, and it's Allah and it's a fake religion. So what do they try and do? They try and smash the Sunnah. They try and smash the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? The Quran came as a general book or a specific book? Any general rulings or specific rulings? General rulings. What did the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? It made this Quran specific. So I can't open the Quran and give my own tafsir to it. I need what? The Sunnah with it. I don't want to come and say, don't take the Sunnah. I don't want to come and say, don't take from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what do I need to do? Because if I'm on the minbar and I told the people, no one take from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I won't walk out of there. So what do I need to do? How do I find my way to smash the Sunnah and turn the Quran into my own understanding? What's the way I do that while being a little bit accepted by the people? To smash part of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You will always find anyone في قلبه زيغ, anyone who in their heart is misguidance. The first one that they try and smash is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Why do people try and smash Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu? Because he narrated the most ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He narrated the most ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So to them, in their mind, if we get rid of Abu Huraira, what happens to the Sunnah? Half of it's gone. Half of it's gone. But if I'm able to put that much doubt in the people about Abu Huraira, automatically I can remove any part of the Sunnah that I want. Because I can say Abu Huraira, he took a lot of things from the Jews and he got mixed up between the words of the Jews and the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we're not going to take from him. And so automatically I can say after that, we need to be very careful about what hadith we take. Because sometimes human beings, they can make mistakes. So we need to, can't take all the ahadith, we only take the ahadith that are in line with the Quran. According to his understanding, according to his. So we need to, in order to preserve our religion, ensure we preserve the honor of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'll give you an example. A person comes to you and he says, you guys say that Abu Huraira narrated most of the, most of the hadith, but narrated the most number of ahadith. Out of all the companions, he narrated the most number. How long was Abu Huraira a Muslim for before the Prophet passed away? How long was he a Muslim for before the Prophet passed away? 10 or 12 years? 7 years? 5 years? 2.5 to 3 years. 2.5 to 3 years. So look, now they're going to come and try and, from this point, they're going to try and find anything. So they come to you and they say, excuse me, Mr. Muslim man, how can you guys say Abu Huraira narrated the most number of ahadith and he was a Muslim for 2.5 to 3 years? And you say Abu Bakr, who was the first Muslim Arab male, he narrated less ahadith than Abu Huraira. How does that work? تفضل يا speak.
He used to live at his place and like.
He used to live in the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. No, but he used to live in the masjid. Okay, أهل الصفة. Okay.
The partition was like just.
This is one. طيب what else? I'm not convinced.
There was always looking. This is sick knowledge. It's the right or wrong.
They were right. You were wrong. Okay. He wasn't the servant of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but he was always with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He made it his job to seek knowledge. What else?
He
devoted his life to it, as the brother said, and he made his goal in his life to seek knowledge. طيب. These are acceptable. These are acceptable. One, that He used to be from Ahl al-Suffah, which added on to what the brother said, and he was always with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from when he became Muslim, he was one of the very poor Muslims. That's why he used to live in the masjid. Ahl al-Suffah were the poor Muslims that used to live in the masjid. So he didn't go out and work. He had the ability to go work, but he didn't go out and work. Why? Because he wanted to make his job. He wanted to make his job to learn as much as he can from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one. Number two, what did you say, Hassan? Okay, so he made it well to seek knowledge. You still haven't answered how he can narrate the most and why he narrated more than Abu Bakr.
Also, Hassan used to tell him.
Of course, Prophet used to tell everyone.
He
didn't write. He didn't write that hadith. Aslan, he actually says, yani, no one was more knowledgeable than me except for Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, I believe it was, because he used to write that hadith. So he said, I never used to write. Khalas, that's it. No more hadith we're going to take. Let's go have a walk. We just only take them in Quran. Good. The Prophet ﷺ made dua for him to have that strong memory in a hadith. Good. This is one. Anyone else? Oh, khalas. That's it. The person's walked away from you and said, I don't care what this guy says. I don't believe in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ anymore, or at least Abu Huraira. Call Sheikh Nasim. This is a possibility. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he purposely did not narrate many ahadith, and he says about himself, because they did not, some of the companions like Az-Zubayr, because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu man kadhaba alayhi muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar. Some of the companions, because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu, whoever lies about me on purpose, then let him take his place in the hellfire. Some of the companions said, even if it's not on purpose, but you make a mistake about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you still fall under the same ruling. So they purposely would not narrate a hadith. They purposely would not narrate a hadith except what they were 100% sure of. So they took it upon themselves not to narrate a hadith except when it was extremely necessary. This is one. Two, how does a person who's been there for 3 years be able to narrate more a hadith than someone who's been there for 20 years? If you look at the wording of the ahadith, you have sometimes the Prophet say, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. What does سَمِعْتُ mean? I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say. The vast majority of the time, what does Abu Huraira say? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. From Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira said what? That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. Did he say here, I heard the Prophet ﷺ? He didn't say he heard it from the Prophet ﷺ. Where did he hear it from? The other companions. He didn't just, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, seek knowledge. Even after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he went out and sought knowledge. He went out and learned the religion. He went to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about this? Give me the knowledge that you have from the Prophet ﷺ. And then after he would write down. So it wasn't like Abu Huraira, everything he heard while the Prophet ﷺ was alive. He went and got the knowledge of the other companions. The companions used to learn from each other. From the companions, who was the best mufassir of Quran? Who was the best one who used to explain the Quran? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. How old was Ibn Abbas when the Prophet ﷺ passed away? This guy's trying to play the lotto. No, it wasn't. It wasn't 48.
Teenager?
Yeah, how old?
17.
17, no? 23. He's teenager, Abdullah.
16.
11. Ziyad, Allah khali.
13.
13, Allah yizik al-khair. Alhamdulillah, finally. He said every number here, alhamdulillah. Ibn Abbas was 13 years old when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. 13 years old. And he was the best, what? The best mufassir of Quran. How can that happen? Besides the hadith, of course, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma faqihu fi din wa alimu ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him understanding of the religion and give him knowledge of the explanation of the Quran. But what did he do after the Prophet ﷺ passed away? Did he just sit at home? No. He used to go and sit at the doors of the companions. He would wait for them to come out. As soon as they come out, he goes and starts asking them questions. Wherever they would go. He would go, for example, to the masjid. He would sit next to him and then he would just ask him. Or walk next to him and ask him, what does this mean? What does the Prophet say about this verse? What does this mean? What does this word mean? Etc. So he would put in effort to learn. So when they come and talk about Abu Huraira, or they come and talk about whoever it is, it's very simple to reply back to what they say. It's very simple. But where's the problem? When we don't learn, that's when we can get confused. When we don't learn it, that's when we can get confused. And there's many things that, as I said, they try and bring about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they can't come to the Quran straight away and say, don't believe in the Quran. Nor can they come to the concept of following the Prophet ﷺ and say, don't follow the Sunnah. So what do they try and do? They try and find fault in the people that bring you the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Even the ones who follow that, I'm talking about the ignorant ones who were fooled, they don't know. The Quran came the exact same way as the Sunnah. As we said, the Quran was carried down by, after the Prophet ﷺ, by the men. It was memorized by them. The exact same way the hadith were memorized. For a person needs to protect the honor of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and learn how to refute any misconceptions about them. And alhamdulillah, there's many books, as we spoke about before, there's many books that speak about them and explain who they are in detail and explain how they were and explain the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jalla and reply back to any misconceptions about them. So just a quick recap. One, to love the companions of Radiallahu Anhum, to testify and admit to their greatness, to take your religion off them, to make dua for them, to not speak about them disrespectfully, about the problems that happened between them. You can speak about it for educational purposes or to learn the truth, but not to disrespect them or cause fitna, to not curse or swear at them, and to protect their honor and clear them and any misconceptions about them. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل محمد وصحبه أجمعين.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.